This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a beautiful Saturday morning. Welcome to one and all to The Garden Show. Charlie Dobbin racing around the studio once again, getting her headphones straightened around.
Just and, adjusting the volume.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, and what a gorgeous, gorgeous day.
Isn't this? Now, can you believe that some folks might be out in their garden today?
Spring is sprung. Yeah. Better be out in the garden. There's lots to do.
That is for sure, my friend. We've got Sebastian manning the lines in case you want to call in with a question. Or, you know, sometimes we get some great advice from our listeners too, right? Charlie? Mm-hmm. So here are the numbers: 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, hey, it's toll free: 1-866-740-4740. I'm Frank Proctor, by the way, the sous chef of the garden. Delighted to share the studio with the mistress of the magnolias, or whatever.
Darling of the dahlias.
Yes, yes, yes.
Goddess of the garden. Okay, I said
yeah,
that. Okay. You didn't.
Yeah, and you believe
there's
it, though.
Something
that's
wrong with
that's
that.
That's the thing. You believe all of
it. You're right. Oh, yeah. I have to.
Your,
I was going to say, I've lost my notes. But no, as I showed you, I'm very organized.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Brand new book.
Brand new book. You've got all your
fresh
little notes in it.
Oof.
Oh, jeez.
Announcements,
yes.
As is my wont.
Yes.
Won't. Okay, remember the worm castings. Have you
yes.
ordered your worm castings? Once again, the Riverdale Hort Society is selling worm castings. That's worm poop, for those of you that aren't sure what that is. And it's a fabulous product for top dressing the lawn, for adding to your garden, even to adding into above ground, you know, container gardens and raised beds of any kind. Large bags, only $15. Half bags, quarter bags, so all sizes. For more information or to order, contact RHS, that's for Riverdale Hort Society, wormcastings at gmail.com. So one word, RHS, wormcastings. And that's all happening quite quickly. You'll be picking those up in later in April or into May. Okay, Toronto Botanical Gardens is having some big Earth Day celebrations. It's all free. It's very family friendly. So you might want to grab the grandkids, particularly if it's going to be a gorgeous day, and that's Saturday, April the 23rd, so next week. I was going to say 2 weeks from today. No, next week. So kicking off the growing season, lots of activities like guided hikes, blender bike rides, dinosaur kale planting, scavenger hunts, crafts, story time, performances, and more. That's from noon until 4 p.m. next week at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, which is 777 Lawrence Avenue East. Okay, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society are hosting a meeting. That'll be on Sunday, April 24th, so a week tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Royal Botanical Garden Center, 680 Plains Road West in Burlington. They'll be in rooms number 3 and 4. The speaker is a senior research technician for the Canadian Hardy Rose Program at Vineland Research Centre, which, of course, is in Vineland, Ontario. It's an incredible opportunity to learn about the Canadian Rose Breeding Program and the new Hardy Roses they're working on. Everyone is welcome, of course. There's no entrance fee nor parking fee. Same day, April 24th, Greater Toronto Water Garden and Hort Society will be holding their regular meeting at the Banbury Community Centre, 120 Banbury Road in North York, 12:30 till 4. Marion Jarvie will be there speaking on texture in landscaping around a pond. Visitors and those planning water gardens are super welcome to attend. More information, www.onwatergarden.com.
Aha. All right.
Is that okay?
That's more than okay.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
You didn't, like, go to sleep while I was going through all that?
I did not. I did not, but my pen just ran out of ink.
I have a spare pencil.
Do you? Okay, I'll
steal
a pencil
from you. Or do you prefer pens? I probably have one of those, too.
Okay. We've got just about a full bank of lines here and still room for maybe one or two more. 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. I forgot to mention... call early, call often, one question per call. And hey, let Sebastian know if you're a first-time caller, and we'll hear the little bell to welcome you to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. Okay.
Garden wings.
There you are. Charlie and I shall return after these words.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And thank you for joining us as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village, saying hi, first of all, to Delaine calling in from Barrie. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
I have a wooden fence all along the south side of my backyard, and about 2 feet out on the ground, I have slabs of moss. I tried to get rid of it last year, but I noticed that it's getting pretty heavy out there again. And on the bottom part of the fence itself, about a foot up, I have a layer of green
algae
or other.
Yeah, yeah. So
and
you said
I'm wondering
that
what that is and how I can get rid of that.
So you said it's on the south side of your property, but this is all happening on the north side of the fence, I imagine. It's not.
I guess you'd say that.
Yeah, just to be clear. All right. So, okay, when moss grows, is it lawn that you want to have growing there, or
well,
is it garden?
I would like. I put flowers all along there, but I'm just wondering if I need to plant grass because the dirt is about 2 feet wide with no grass or anything except the slabs of moss.
Slabs of moss. All right. So the main thing to understand about moss is that there's certain conditions that will help moss grow, and there's things you can do to change up the conditions so that it will not be a happy place for moss, and it's potentially a much happier place for flowers or lawn. If it's very low light, a very shady spot, of course, moss loves a fairly shady spot, you're not going to find a lawn is going to grow very well there. So I'd be inclined to go with flowers rather than trying to grow lawn in the dark. But remember that if the drainage is poor, if it's a moist location, if it's a low spot in your yard, the water collecting there, the moisture at all times will contribute to moss. Moss loves moisture.
That's surprising because it's sort of mounded right in front of the fence and it sort of slopes down into the yard. I would feel that it would, like, it's not really damp. It drains seemingly okay.
Right, and that's, like you said, that's the back of your backyard. So technically, everything drains away from your house, and then if it's draining away from the back of the backyard, then your more moist spot would be right in the center of your yard, I would think. That would be where water would collect. But your soil, you are calling from Barrie, you could be... So often our soil is poorly drained beneath that top layer of topsoil. It's a, you know, serious clay layer. So just keep that in mind, that if you can do anything to contribute to make sure that it's a well-drained area. The other thing is low fertility. Moss loves low fertility, so adding some all-purpose fertilizer makes it an unhappy place for moss.
Okay.
Also keep in mind that if it's very acidic in that area, meaning the pH is low, below neutral, again, moss is a happy camper. So we use horticultural lime. Buy that at your local garden center, horticultural lime, and we sprinkle that. First I would shovel out the moss, eliminate that. I would sprinkle horticultural lime. I'd get in there with a digging fork, and I'd dig around and loosen the soil up a bit so that you aerate it a bit, and just be careful of having, you know, sort of moisture collect back there.
Great.
You can't do much about the shade, but certainly adding some fertilizer in a week or two will help as well.
Very good. So thank you so much for your help.
You're very
welcome. Okay, Delaine.
Thanks for your call.
First caller in this beautiful Saturday morning. And let's go to Kate in Toronto. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning. I was wondering, about wisteria vines.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Stevie. Do you need to trim them back, like, to make them flower, or do you leave them? You let go.
Trust me, don't ever turn your back on a wisteria.
Oh, really?
It will encompass your house and everybody's house in your neighborhood if you don't keep it under control. They are very, very vigorous plants, and once they get established, they grow very quickly. How long ago did you plant it?
A couple of years ago. It's over an arbor in the middle of my backyard.
Okay, good. And it's a nice, strong arbor, really solid and made, you know.
Yes.
Good, because, again, it becomes a very heavy plant with age. Now, the trick with wisteria is you do have to have some patience. When we first plant them, unless they're flowering when we buy them, then we know what color they are and we know that they're mature enough to flower. But if it's just a little green plant and we plant it and it starts to grow, we have to be patient. It's a minimum of a 7-year wait.
Wow.
Before you see flowers. And it might even be longer than that. But do some pruning for sure. What I would recommend, and it's a bit hard to explain over the on the phone, on the radio, but there's a very good description on how to prune and care for wisteria on Canadian Gardening's website. So if you Google, you know, Canadian Gardening, which is a magazine, so, and it's from years ago. It's probably from like 2006 or 7. So Canadian Gardening and then wisteria, you will find that. And it's a multi-page with photos and descriptions on how to prune and when to prune.
Okay.
And you do prune to
flower a little bit last year.
Oh,
and
good.
It had all kinds of seed pods.
Oh, well, that's good, because it did have flowers. That's great.
Yeah, it has pods. Yeah, and I was wondering, do you prune? So I'll go to the website and find out.
Yeah, take a look.
Seed pods germinate?
They could. They could grow, but again, huge exercise and patience. And who knows, because they are typically, they're often a hybrid when we buy them, so the seeds will not be the same as the parent, usually.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, it's fun to try, though. See what you get.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate.
Much. Thanks,
all right.
Kate.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for joining us here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And from Bolton, exclusively on Zoomer Radio,
yes,
is Mary. Hi, Mary. Good morning. Hello, Mary. Nobody there?
Morning.
Okay. We've got a... All righty. We'll go to the next call. Good morning, Deirdre.
Deirdre.
Yes. Hey, Deirdre. Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. I have a question about a river birch tree.
Mm-hmm.
I planted it about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's come on very well. I have another one as well that's done extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it has two trunks.
Mm-hmm.
One is not as prolific as the other. It's it looks healthy, but the leaves are coming in much smaller than the other trunk, and
mm-hmm.
they're a little bit yellow. They're not that bright green that you get from a river birch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do.
I have a friend who has the exact same thing going on in her place. She's got about 6 river birch. 3 look great, and 3 have small, pale leaves. And what we've done to try and facilitate making her birches happier is she got a hold of chelated iron. So fertilizer with chelated, so C-H-E-L-A-T-E-D, so chelated iron and in the fertilizer. And she used that to fertilize the birch now at this time of year. And that's because things can happen in the soil where you've got... The plant can't access nutrients because of either some nutrients are too high and they're stopping access to what the plant needs. There's kind of one reasons why nutrients can have issues being available to plants. And the iron seems to make a real difference in the case of the birch that are looking like yours and hers.
Okay, so and where would you get that type of a fertilizer?
At any garden center. I mean, you're in Mississauga, so you've got Sheridan's around you. Maybe you're close to a Plant World, something like that. Just go in and say, I'm looking for a fertilizer for my birch, but I want to make sure it's got chelated iron.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Let us know how that works out.
Thank you very much. Okay,
thank you.
Deirdre.
All right. I'm glad you've taken your Cyrosil today because you got to get your elbow going. You've got some serious bell ringing to do.
I do.
You give the numbers, I guess.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to give the numbers one more time here. We do have, when we say goodbye to Deirdre, that freed up a line, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Hey, Tim out there in Mississauga, first-time caller, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, thank you very much.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning. Our challenge is we've had violets taking over our significant area of our back lawn.
Mm.
So we decided to dig them all out last spring and fill it in with new soil and get rid of the old soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put down some sod last June.
Mm-hmm.
And we watered it like crazy, and we ended up with a beautiful lawn.
Excellent.
But then in late summer and fall, the sod started to go brown, and much of it died.
Oh.
So now we're planning to put soil over the whole back lawn and seed it.
Right.
And we did some seeding a couple of years ago, and it didn't go so well. So I want to make sure that I don't have another failure.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the best way to deal with this?
Well, I'm wondering why. Okay, so how much sun does this area get in your lawn in a day?
It gets it's somewhat shady to a certain degree, but it does get sun.
Yeah,
and we've actually just, there's a big tree out in the back, and we've just cut a big branch that was sort of coming right over towards our house. So we had that cut off this spring.
Okay.
So we're going to get more sun than we did.
Okay, good. So that's what I'm wondering. Like, if your lawn looked great after the sodding in the spring and the summer, green and lush, and as the summer went on and we got into late summer and fall, and it started to all shrivel up and turn brown, that's what I'm suspecting is. So you have to remember, sod is grown at a sod farm.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen a sod farm, it's wide open, pure sun all day.
Yeah.
Not a tree, no shade at all. So when we use sod to replace any parts of our lawn, it will work perfectly if we are putting that sod into the same conditions it was growing in, so full sun. When we move sod into a shady or fairly shady spot, it's going to do well for a little while, but then it's going to start to deteriorate because those grasses are not tuned into the low light levels that they're in. So that you're smart to do overseeding rather than sodding again.
Okay,
so
good.
You head off, whether you're going to buy bags of top dressing soil or you're going to have a yard of soil delivered to your driveway in one of those nice big bags.
Yeah, that's what we plan to do. We bought one of those last year to fill in. We really dug down deep and got all of our violets out, I hope, although we still have a few that keep popping up. But
it's true. You really have to dig deep to get the violets out. None of this just taking them off at ground level. You got
to
go right down.
Really,
and I know I hired three teenagers on three separate occasions to dig violets out of my lawn because it is, and they still come up. Like I'm still, every spring I'm out there digging up violets. It's my fault.
I've not finished this. We're going to have to keep working at this.
That's right. As soon as you see one violet, you're going to see 50 more. So as soon as you see one, dig it up right away. Like get and dig deep. So because they'll shoot seeds around very quickly in the spring.
Well, what I use now is I bought this thing from Lee Valley for dandelions,
right.
Which is on the end of my hose,
on.
And I stick it down and it
loosens.
Waters all down there, and then you get the weed out of the root out of the dandelion. I've been using that. Is that a good way to do it, or do I really have to dig holes again, even for a little one?
No, do exactly what you're doing. You just want to get that root. That's the most important thing, and you preferably want to get those violets out before they flower, which they're going to do probably today or tomorrow. And so you want to get them out before they flower because they will set seeds right away, and there you're back growing violets. So stay on
that. That's basically what we've tried to do. But
and
the key right now is how do I make sure that this seed works? Because I did do some seeding on some winter kill a couple years ago and went to the garden shop and they sold me this great seed and this great fertilizer and told me what mix it all together and it didn't really work all that well. So is this overseeding that I'm going to do now, what is the best way to make sure that that's going to work?
Okay, so you're going to top dress with the soil you've got coming in, raking it all nice and level.
Yeah.
That you're going to buy seed that is for your conditions.
Is what?
Is for your conditions. So you're going to buy grass seed that is perhaps for part shade, part sun. It's going to perhaps be for high traffic if you're out playing around on this lawn a lot. So you're going to, there's a lot of grass seed blends out there. So you're going to choose a blend that's going to work for your conditions, okay, and you are going to get what you pay for. So be prepared to get a good name brand and expect it to cost you a few dollars, because a better quality grass seed is going to give you a long-term lawn as opposed to a nice short-term lawn that you'll get with a cheap grass seed.
Now, so, I was told that the seed was, not the seed, but the sod is always
bluegrass.
Oh,
bluegrass.
Bluegrass?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, and it does not grow in the shade. So you're going to buy grass seed that is for part shade. It's going to have fescues in it. It's going to have all kinds of, it's going to have some, maybe 10 or 20% bluegrass, but the other 80% is not bluegrass, is my point. So anyway, you're going to get that grass seed mix, blend. You're going to go out there. You're going to pretend you're feeding the chickens. So you're going to broadcast the seed over the area where you want your patching and filling. Then you're going to rake lightly again because the birds will steal the seed if you just leave it on the surface. Then you're going to get out your sprinkler and you're going to start watering. And you are going to make sure that you keep that area moist for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Well, if it's not raining, you're watering, but not soaking like a, you know, swamp, but making sure that the seed is kept moist to get it to germinate. Once it germinates, it will start growing, and 2 weeks after that, you'll be mowing it.
Okay. Okay. I guess Tim, yes.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Okay. Nice question, Tim. And hey, another first-time caller, this time around from Toronto. It's Allison. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you. Hi, Charlie. Hi, Frank.
Good morning.
I was at the garden show a couple of weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
I bought two cactuses. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen them before, and I decided, let me buy two of them. Mm-hmm. But I come home now, and I want to put them in a little bigger pot. I don't know what kind of soil to buy.
Well, you can buy cactus soil. It will just be a good quality potting soil or a soilless mix, but it'll have extra chunky sand or gravel in it just to make sure it's very well drained. Right? So that's what you're looking for, a very...
I just want to know what soil, because they're different. I've never seen them before.
Oh, well, you're in Toronto.
I look at the name on it. It says Gasteria. I don't know if that's Royal Wolfgang. I don't know if that's the name of it.
Sorry, what's the name say?
It said Gasteria, and underneath it says Royal Wolfgang. Now, that I don't know if that's the name, because the other one says Gasteria SP.
Okay, that's the name of the cactuses, by the sounds of it.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So just go. I think at this time of year, you will find there's some very good choices on bags of soil.
Mm-hmm. So just two little plants. I don't want anything big, you know.
No, I understand. But I'm just saying, even if you go to a Walmart, even at this time of year, going to a dollar store, you will find little bags of soil available in these stores because everybody's growing stuff.
So I Walmart and the dollar store.
Yeah, I think you may find just what you're looking for at either of those spots in a small bag. And if you're getting bigger pots, remember with cacti, try and use clay pots. Clay pots are better for drainage than a plastic pot.
The plastic pot. Well, that's why maybe I should hurry up and get them out of that.
Yeah, so maybe...
Because the roots have already come through the bottom.
Right. Okay, so, but do consider a clay pot just because you'll find it's easier to care for cacti. Lots of sun, well-drained soil. Okay, thanks, Allison.
All righty. Boy, we've got a busy morning here going,
I'll tell you. No, people are gardening. Sun is shining.
We're heading out to Brantford. There's Thomas. Good morning, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
I planted raspberry bushes. I think they were the ever-blooming type about 6 years ago, and the raspberries that it produces isn't even worth picking. They're very, very small.
Oh. So you're wondering why. Do you ever prune them?
I've tried pruning them to the ground, and I've tried leaving them alone and letting them grow, and then just trimming them maybe to about 3 or 4 feet in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
Never had raspberries, no matter what I do.
And are they growing in lots of sun?
Yes.
And do you fertilize?
Yes.
because I would even be, you know, you're out in Brantford, you could probably get access to some nice, well-aged, composted manure.
I think about 20 garbage cans a year.
Oh, you do, and you put it on the raspberries, and you're still not getting a good crop. They're small, but otherwise they're fine. They look well-formed.
Great, grows like crazy.
And the leaves and the actual stems look fine? Because, I mean, there are a few, like, insects that get into raspberries.
There's no insects. It's a really healthy-looking plant. I don't get any raspberries.
You got a bum bush there.
I was going to say, I'd be taking those back from wherever you got those.
I've had them for about 7 years.
I know, you can't now.
I'll just dig them up and replace them then.
That's what I would do. Yeah, because, I mean, Frank, you know, has spoken. It's true. Sometimes plants just are bum plants.
Yeah.
You know, it's not your fault. It sounds like you're doing everything right. And I love raspberries.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Thomas. Nice to hear from our friends in Brantford. Now we're going to go to Milton and say hi to Jane. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Oh, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. When I was at the Creative Blooms Festival, I bought a really sweet little miniature palm tree, and I just wondered if I could put it outside on my patio this summer because my cat is after it, and I can't. I have to keep it away from the cat.
I know. Cats love grasses, and palms are a form of a grass. That's what's going on there. So you know what you should do? You're absolutely right. Yes, you can go out on the patio with it once we're frost-free. So even on a day like today, you could put it out for a couple hours, but do bring it in at night, and do not go into full sun with it. Go into a shady spot to start. Give it but eventually, if you can get it in a bit of sun, that would be better. And grow some cat grass for your cat, or you can buy it already growing at some of the grocery stores right now. It's just little pots of, looks like lawn grasses growing in a little pot. They're actually oats, and cats love chewing on those grasses, like now at this time of year. They just get all excited. When spring is in the air, they want to start chewing green things. So, I have the same thing, palms that my cat will, you know, leap tall buildings to get at. So I grow cat grass for him, so he leaves the palms alone.
This little palm tree is so darling. How big is it going to grow? Or
I'm not sure. You'd have to. Do you have a name on it at all? Did it come with a name?
It's upstairs now, but okay. It just was so sweet. I had to buy it because I love palm trees.
Yeah, I love miniatures too, so why not? Well, you can, if you want to email me the name, I'm happy to look it up for you and let you know. And we can give out Frank will give out my email address.
Absolutely. I'll do that right now.
Thanks,
I'll give you a moment, Jane, to run for a piece of paper and pencil. And at the same time, let you know that as we say goodbye to Jane, we open up a line there for you at either our Toronto line, 416-360-0740, or anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie Dobbin's email address here at the station is c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Just that simple, okay?
I know, it's true.
Well, we're going to have chats with Marianne and Jim, all that to come on The Garden Show here from Zoomer Radio, and we shall return in just moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we are once again. We never left.
It's such a blue sky. Look at this. We got to get out of the studio. We got to get outside.
Maybe we'll take a drive to Etobicoke.
Okay.
All right. There's Marianne. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and what a gorgeous day. Charlie, every year I have picked my forsythia early, forced it, and for Easter, whatever, had the blooms in the house.
Right.
This is the first year ever all I got were leaves. Normally it's the flowers and then the leaves afterwards. I didn't get one flower. How come?
Well, because you pruned branches that did not have flower buds on them.
But when you see that bulbous bump like a bud, is that not what you think is the flower? Because they always come first, don't they?
Yeah, usually. But was it the very top of the plant that you were pruning, or was it down low?
It was a bit all over.
Okay. You're right. Usually with forsythia, the buds that you see, they're quite round and plump.
Exactly.
And they are flower buds. And then you're right. They come first, then the leaves, followed by the leaves. But it, sometimes people's forsythia doesn't bloom out in their gardens in the spring. And they're like, why didn't it bloom? Well, two things can happen. One is the flower buds can get killed in the winter because of harsh winds or very low temperatures. Or the plants were pruned at the wrong time and all the flower buds got all pruned off because the plant was pruned at the wrong time. Because now, right after it blooms, is the time to prune it. Because all the growth that grows all summer is where the flower buds form before winter comes. So, yeah, so why you didn't get flower buds is a bit of a mystery because it was not a super cold winter. So the flower buds
And actually, I don't prune this bush. It just goes wild. So I was going to say the only other answer is the cold weather, but then it wasn't that cold.
No, it was a fairly mild winter. Mm-hmm. So maybe you do need to prune it, though, because remember, we don't do favors to our shrubs when we don't prune them. All they do is become a tangled, gnarly mess. There's not enough air penetration or sun penetration, and you will find fewer flower buds are formed when the plant is struggling and it's just a, like I said, just a big mess of branches all twisting and twining and rubbing against each other. Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate. Once this one, you know, see if it flowers at all this spring. Keep an eye on your neighbors. You'll know when the forsythia is blooming. Right after it's done blooming, if yours doesn't bloom particularly, get on pruning it.
Okay. Thank you for your help, and get out of there and enjoy this day.
Exactly. Well, I'm watching the clock.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be heading to High Park and see what's going on out there.
That's right. We start with a little brekkie.
Yes, of course, and then check the cherry blossoms to see how far
along
they're coming.
Let's not promote the cherry blossoms. That's a big mistake.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Millions of people end up going there, and then we can't get in there because they got there first.
Mistake on my part.
That's right.
Another one.
There are no cherry blossoms at High Park. Trust me. You want to see cherry blossoms, like, go to Washington or Japan or somewhere else. Do not go into downtown Toronto.
There you go. Advice from Charlie. All right, Jim in Scarborough, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you today, folks?
Good morning.
Good. I have a privet hedge. It's probably 50 or 60 years old. It had been my in-laws. Mm-hmm. And it's about 5 foot high and about 4 foot wide. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to trim it back. Mm-hmm. How much can I trim it back, and when's a good time to do it? I've had some of it when we did a reno here, was taken off right at ground level, basically, and it came back.
I was
going to
say,
problem.
Yeah, your timing is good. You can just about trim it down. Well, with a privet, I'd go down, 6 inches tall.
Okay.
But you have to do it now. You have to
do it
early.
6 inches off the ground.
You can if you want. Like,
and
if you're
then
real
back to where you want it.
Yeah, really want to rejuvenate it. Take it right down. Of course, when you're doing that, watch for dead wood because you're going to want to take out anything that's dead. That's of those stems that have been left there. You're going to want to take out anything that's rubbing together.
Right.
So anything that's damaged from rubbing,
right.
And you're probably going to look at that point at the soil. If it's been there that long, the soil, it might be a bit tired.
Right.
So loosening the soil, being careful, obviously, of the roots, but loosening the soil, top dressing with some good organic material, whether it's compost or composted manure, that will rejuvenate the soil. Cutting it all down will be highly productive in terms of how the plants will respond. They'll pop right back up, and it'll look like it was planted just last year.
Okay, this the next couple of days or so would be good.
Perfect. Yep, and it's nice dry weather,
right.
So that's good. We do all our pruning when it's nice and dry and sunny.
Right, yeah, and I know there's a lot of other stuff that's in there that shouldn't be, but trying to get at it, like
absolutely.
Old maple trees
sure.
and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Perfect opportunity. Get that. Make sure you got a big, strong, long screwdriver with you so you can get down in between the roots of the privet and loosen up those maple trees and those volunteers that are growing in there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for being on the show this morning. And, hey, it's Sandra in Milton who has a question for you. Charlie, good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
Morning.
To both of you. I have really got a problem with three Martha Washington geraniums, which we purchased together, my husband and I, for a special occasion from a greenhouse. They were beautiful 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in those 3 weeks, I've totally almost lost one of them, and the other two are hanging in there. And I suspect although the excuse me, the instructions say to keep in bright light, those 2 weeks were so dull, no sun. my south-facing window got very little light.
Yeah, true.
And the leaves began within maybe a week or two, maybe a week ago. The leaves faded, like they went from a beautiful dark green to a pale green. And then some, which I have trimmed off, have gone brown and papery. The buds, it was they were full of buds, and they went yellowy. And I've trimmed those off, but the one is like a weeping willow. It's leaf branches or stems have just gone absolutely arched. Now, the other thing I suspect I did was perhaps overwater them.
I think so.
And the one, I put them out on the front porch yesterday in the sun for about 3 hours just to give them some extra light, which, you know, isn't long enough.
But well, but it's a start.
It can be a change overnight.
Yeah.
But this other one that's gone wilty, I took it out of its pot, and it, you used the word with another caller this morning, swamp. It's very, very soggy. It's like a wet sponge. And I'm wondering if I should be taking that soil off and putting it into some dry soil. I don't know how to dry. I mean, it almost looks like it's gone forever. But
yeah. Well, you know what I would do? If the really super limp one that has obviously been overwatered. So I would, you're right. Tip it on its side, pull the plant out. What I would do rather than you know, taking away the wet soil and putting in dry soil, because actually, I mean, plants do need water, but if it's too much water, the roots will start to rot. So what I would do is I would squeeze that little root ball that with the soil still around the roots, squeeze and any excess water out, just like you would squeeze a sponge, right? I mean, you know, don't wring it or anything, but just give it a real thorough, you know, squeezing. So get any excess water out that way. Then I would allow it to do a certain amount of drying out. I would actually probably leave that root ball sitting on a piece of newspaper for a couple of hours, just drying out a little bit out in the air right before it goes back into the pot. And then eventually you're going to have to go back into the pot, stabilize the whole plant, maybe using some skewers or, you know, some way, just because it's going to be all falling over and stuff. It's wilting, et cetera. But just try and stabilize it, get in as bright a spot as you can. Obviously avoid drafts and do not water. What has to happen is any roots that have rotted will rot and new ones have to grow. And they will if you can just not water and just give it the right conditions, okay?
And is it okay, like today, tomorrow, while it's above, say, 10 degrees?
Sure. Get them outside.
To help it dry out, put it outside?
Absolutely.
On its side or something?
So well, that's right. Yeah, if it's right out of the pot, you could. Yep, get it outside, though, because it's brighter outside than it is in your house, and certainly the warm temperatures will help.
Sandra, I hope that helps. We do have to scoot along here.
Thank you.
Daffodils
and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
You know what that means.
Oh, what does it mean?
First-time caller, Pat from Georgetown. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, you've got your wings.
I've got my wings. I'm, you know, just almost a first-time gardener, too. My husband used to do it all, and now I'm into it. So I have a couple of questions.
Never too late.
I would like to know, I bought at Canada Blooms, I bought the Gerbers, the new ones. Can I plant them now?
Not yet, no. Got to wait till it's frost-free.
Okay.
Particularly in Georgetown. And your soil is very cold still.
Yeah, it is. I've been out there working at it. I know my tulips and that are coming up.
Yeah, enjoy the tulips. And, you know, right now it's all about the lawns, raking our lawns and doing a little pruning and cleaning up. But don't try and plant anything unless you're, you know, planting your vegetable gardens ready to go. You could put some pea seeds in and things like that. But otherwise, don't be planting anything.
Okay.
It's too cold.
So, in other words, wait until the 24th of May or something like that.
Well, we did have a frost last year on the 23rd of May. So, yes, good idea.
Oh, Canada.
Pat, well,
the next question.
Well, I'm sorry, Pat. One of the rules of the show is one question per call, okay? So please call in again next week, for another question. All righty.
Got other callers lined up. Thanks, Pat.
We do have Marlene on the line from Oakville. So let's see if we can squeeze that one in.
You're just moving me through here so fast.
Well, I am.
Producer Frank. All right. This is a fast one. Marlene, good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Moss is taking over my backyard. What can I do?
All right. So you, our first caller from Barry was asking the exact same thing as, what about moss? So moss, dig it out, shallow shovel, dig it out, get it off the property, loosen the soil because it needs aeration into the soil in that area. Fertilize the soil, add horticultural lime because it's likely a low pH. So sprinkling horticultural lime on top. And if it's a lawn you're trying to grow, choose a grass seed that will grow in the low light conditions that moss loves and typically grasses don't. And just try and avoid it being a wet spot. Add drainage. However, you can help the drainage is a good thing.
Well, the funny thing is that my backyard is bright sun all day long.
Yep.
It's dry.
Okay. Well, then a soil test of the area, the soil in the area where the moss is growing is a good idea. That will tell you exactly what's going on with your pH, and you'll be in a better position to be able to fix the soil so the moss will not grow, and then get a good grass seed to grow there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Marlene.
Thanks, Marlene, and to all our callers for joining us this morning. Here
yes,
on a
indeed.
Beautiful day.
It's been a busy show.
Wow, I'll tell you. Hey, and coming up after the news at 10, it's Dave's Corner Garage. And joining Dave in studio is Jeff Coy of Lant Insurance, who will answer all your questions. That's after the news on Zoomer Radio, and we wrap up the show here.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you are coming back at some point?
I am back at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after our little sojourn out at High Park.
Oh, so it'll be after 2 before you come up to help me in the garden then.
That's right, yes.
You haven't got to fill in to do that show for you, so you can come right now.
You are a taskmaster, is what you are. Mm.
There's lots to do, and beautiful sunshine, and we're feeling good and sprightly. We've got our joints well-oiled,
Yeah, are you speaking anywhere today?
No.
Oh, you spoke last week at
the
Richmond
Hill
Library.
Yes, it was good.
How did that go?
It went well, yeah. They've got a seed lending going on there now, which is quite fun.
Did they roll out the red carpet for you, as you usually
no,
demand?
No, I waited. I did wait,
but it didn't
show. So I thought, I thought maybe you'd come and carry me in, but no. Here it is. So I did my best, but yes, it was very nice. It was a good crowd, lots of good questions. People are keen, all ages. I love it, all ages.
Just one final note, if I may give Charlie a call. She is a master gardener, and she does go out and do some work for you in the garden. Now, there's a cost, but she'll let you know what that's all about.
Yeah.
If you contact Charlie at c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com, right?
Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.